Mother Putnam has served as our district superintendent now for 12 years. He's a great man of vision, a man of integrity, great spiritual man, a great spiritual leader, an outstanding friend of mine. I love Brother Putnam. I love him dearly. Love his family. And we want to give him a good Madison welcome. Put your hands together. Welcome our district superintendent, John Putnam.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen. May you all have a wonderful, blessed new year. Anybody excited about living for God in 2011? Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for the wonderful atmosphere that is in this place today. I'm learning more and more the older that I'm getting that you don't take too much for granted. And I don't know that we should ever, ever take the presence of the mighty God for granted. What an honor it is to lift up holy hands, to lift up our voices, to express our love, appreciation, and thankfulness for His goodness and His grace to all of us. Amen. Can you do that right now one more time? Father, thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for its leadership. And bless each and every one, God. We love you and thank you, Father. In the name that is above all names, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Well, praise God. It's good to be with you. I know that we come quite often. I do want you to pray for us. This next week, we're putting our house up for sale in Monroe. And we are currently probably going to be moving to the Sheboygan area. You would probably never understand why. But that's where our son pastors. And so we probably won't be here as often as we have been. But I just want to thank this church always for your kindness and your graciousness to our family. I keep telling Brother Grant, you don't have to announce that we're here all the time. I'm big enough. Everybody can see I'm here. But I thank God for your pastor and his good wife and the leadership of this assembly. And thank God for all of you. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would turn to a very familiar scripture found in the book of Acts. It's found in the first chapter of Acts, and it's found in verse 8. And also to the book of 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to his son in the gospel, Timothy, amen, in chapter 4. And we'd like to bring you a thought from these verses. I will say this is not the first time I've preached this message. It's one of those messages I feel that came from above, and I truly believe that it is for the church. Amen. And to help us. Anybody in here need help besides me? Praise God. To help us along our spiritual walk. So if you'd look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I stop only to say it does not say you might. It does not say perhaps. It does not say if conditions are right, you're going to get this power. If you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, then you have the power of God on the inside of you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then the second part of the verse, it also does not leave for any wiggling room. It says, and ye what? Everybody say it again. Shall be witnesses. That's not an option, folks. If we've got the power and we've got the message, then my friend, we need to be about the Master's business in doing what he wants us to do. And ye shall be witnesses, Jesus said unto him, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 14, Paul speaking to Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In this morning's service, I want to speak to you about this. Unleashing the power within. Unleashing the power within. Can you put your Bibles down? Can you lift up your hands? Amen. And let's ask God, amen, to speak to us this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. And God, I pray, Lord, for your anointing upon every ear to hear, upon this voice to speak in every aspect, God, and we'll give you all the glory for your results. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, look him in the eye, shake their hand, smile real big, and say, how about you unleashing that power you got inside of you? Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Brother Johnson, good to see you again. Welcome home. Amen. Anybody in this room ever heard of Albert Einstein? Albert Einstein, famous scientist. He once said, the unleashed power of the atom has changed everything except our mode of thinking. And thus we drift toward unparalleled catastrophes. Einstein's theories shattered some of the time-honored assumptions about the nature of matter. He showed that mass and energy are interrelated. Like ice and steam, they're different forms of the same thing, and in certain circumstances are interchangeable. Now, scientists knew that matter could produce energy as a result of a chemical reaction. For example, if I took a piece of paper up here this morning and set it on fire, it would produce heat and light and some sound. But the chemical process would release only a very minute percentage of the paper's total energy potential. However, if the chemical reaction in that lit piece of paper were to take place at the subatomic level, the amount of energy released would be absolutely enormous. To accomplish this, the mass of atoms that make up the elements of the paper would need to become unfrozen and turned into energy. The energy then could be calculated by the famous E equals MC squared formula, where M is mass and MC is the speed of light squared. Aren't you all thrilled about this? And if all the energy, I brought with me a little perspective here of the Purpose Institute, which is a great program, by the way. If all the energy in this small paper booklet could be released, and I'm not making this up, folks. If all the true energy at the subatomic level could be released in this small booklet, it would supply enough energy to run a city about the size of San Diego, California for 99 days. So why aren't we doing it? You can see the energy potential of matter is enormous. There was a dramatic demonstration of this power in the heart of the atom when it was unleashed on August the 6th, 1945. Just about 22 pounds, just 10 kilograms of uranium was used in the atomic bomb that exploded over Hiroshima, Japan. The city was completely devastated, and thousands of people lost their lives. But of that 22 pounds, listen carefully, it has now been estimated that only a fraction of the mass of the 22 pounds of uranium, about the size of a pea, was all that was converted into energy and unleashed. I'm telling you, folks, when we're talking about atomic energy, we're talking about some pretty powerful stuff. But I'm not here today to give you a lesson on atomic energy. I'm here to express to all of us about the potential that resides within every one of us that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, somebody ought to clap their hands. Just like the atom, I believe it is high time that in the spiritual realm that you and I need to unleash this power from within us. David said in Psalm 139 and verse 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I'm not a doctor, let alone a brain specialist. But I can read and I can study. And when we truly consider God's creation of man, you and I, we must conclude like David did that we are wondrously made. Our brain is the central part of everything that we are physically. It literally is the biblical heart of man. And through modern inventions of an MRI, anybody ever have an MRI? Or a PET, or a SPET, or a MEG scanning. Those scanning devices, it is now truly amazing what has been discovered about the second by second operations of our brains. Did you know, and it's now known, the fact that our brains contain 100,000 miles of blood vessels. That's enough to go around the world almost five times. And just think, it's all between your two ears. And our brains have 100 billion neurons with the capacity to perform 10 quadrillion operations per second. No wonder we get headaches. Matter of fact, if you and I were just to sit down at a desk and write out our brain's potential by these possibilities of neural connections, it would take us 75 years just to write out the zeros. That's the level, power, and capacity that you and I have at our disposal every moment of every day. In other words, our potential to achieve what we desire essentially without limit. Jesus said to a man, a father one time, that was greatly concerned about his possessed son. Jesus looked at the man in Mark 9 and 23 and he said, if thou can believe, or if thou believest, all things, everybody say all things. Say it again. are possible to him that believes. Now, Jesus was responding to that father because he was pleading for his son's deliverance. But in the 24th verse, the father responds to Jesus and he cries out and says, with tears, he says, Lord, I believe. Do we have any believers in here today? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Jesus said to some other folks in Matthew 19:26, he says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Lord knows our human potential simply because he created us. Do you remember in Genesis when the Lord said regarding the Tower of Babel? In Genesis 11:6, the Lord says, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now what? Nothing will be restrained from them, which they what? Have imagined to do. And because of sin, because of a Garden of Eden and the failure of the first human beings, our potential has been thwarted. We literally, like the Adam, have become frozen. We too need to be unfrozen and to be set free. And the only way that we can do that is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. I want you to know, folks, the world's trying its best to get our attention. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. God wants to set the potential, amen, that's available to us, amen, through the power of belief. I'm not talking about easy believism. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost that is inside of us. Now, when Paul was speaking or writing to his son in the gospel, in that 14th verse of 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, that word neglect in the Greek is ameleho. It means to be careless of or make light of, neglect, be negligent or have no regard for. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm telling you that the enemy of our soul, the devil, would like nothing more than for you and I to equate the awesome power that we have within us as just a good feeling. Thus making light of its true potential and purpose in our life and the life of others that we encounter. Brothers and sisters, Jesus meant exactly what he said when he said to his disciples, and ye shall receive power. Amen. I'm telling you this morning that if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you have a power within you that can have a greater effect on this world than the power of the Adam was ever hoped to. Because the Adam, we've learned, destroys, but the Spirit gives life, and it gives it more abundantly. Praise God. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Apostle Paul goes on to Timothy and he says in verse 15, he says, meditate. Everybody say meditate. It's meletao in the Greek. It means to take care of. That is, revolve in the mind. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly. Everybody say wholly. Amen. W-H-O-L-L-Y to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Are any of you better off than you were when you first came to God? Huh? Our life is better. Amen. God has blessed us. Anybody been blessed in here? I'm talking about even materially. You've been blessed in here. I tell you, our profiting. God wants this world to see a church, amen, that is not only on fire, but has got the authority and the power. Told those in Genesis of what they imagined. Paul says, meditate. Isn't that interesting? Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Brothers and sisters, we've got to realize that what lies within us is greater than anything about us. We have to be convinced in our mind. We must believe before we will ever attempt to unleash God's power within us. Now, there's a reason why we as human beings have such a rough time believing. Our brain is divided into two separate divisions. Part of our brain is conscious, and the other part is non-conscious. Our conscious brain functions and controls about 2 to 4% of all of what we do. And the average person's conscious brain loses focus about every 6 to 10 seconds. The older I get, I can say a great big amen to that. You just try to remember a phone number that somebody just gives you over the phone. Huh? Without writing it down. I don't know how many times I've listened to phone messages 3 and 4 times. Amen. To get to make sure I got the right number as it was given. Why? Because my conscious mind will lose focus in what we're doing. Can somebody give me a witness on this? Huh? And aren't you glad that your conscious brain doesn't control all of our biochemistry? I mean, I got up this morning, our non-conscious part does everything else. I got up this morning, I didn't have to say, okay, lungs, breathe. Heart, beat. Kidneys, function. No, it is our non-conscious part of our brain that performs the 10 quadrillion functions per second of life. If our conscious brain was the part totally in control of our bodies, we would only live about 5 seconds. Just take a mental guess of how often our conscious brain loses focus. The answer is never. Until we breathe our last breath. But what's interesting, it is by and through our conscious mind that we use to define, articulate, and set goals in life. Anybody have goals here? I know this church has goals. I know this district has goals. But individually, we need to have goals in life. But that comes from our conscious brain. But to perform those goals, to see them come to pass, it is our non-conscious brain that follows through with all of the hundreds and thousands and millions of actions that is necessary to achieve those goals. So we must first believe, everybody say believe, our goals are possible and that they will come to pass. In the back of our heads, right about here, is something called the RAS. It's the reticular activation system. Everything that we are, everything that we've experienced, everything that is known, that we know, is all been from back here. It's our history. For example, How many of you, when you were just a small tot, amen, and you saw a burning electric thing in the stove, or you saw a flame, you went over and touched it? Be honest. Come on, be honest. How many of you did it the second time? Why didn't you do it the second time? You didn't do it because your RAS says, Now, once we have become unfrozen and being born again, and our potential is now made alive, folks, there are things in the Holy Ghost now when we would start doing some of the old things that we used to do, the Holy Ghost now says, But you see, you know, I've pastored people. They've come in. They've gotten the Holy Ghost, Brother Grant. Amen. They're on fire for God, at least it appears, but they don't last long. And I've always thought, well, what is the deal here? They got the same Holy Ghost that I got. Why indeed did they not lose? Because they not ever got it from their conscious brain to their RAS, their non-conscious approach, amen, to their true belief system. Any true believers here today? You know that it's a fact. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know that it must be born again of water and of spirit. We got it back here. Because I've seen people, amen, they have the feeling, they've got the consciousness, but praise God, we got to get it back from just our consciousness and our feeling stage. We got to get it back to the place where we know so. You realize that by the time that you and I reach 17 years of age, that we have heard it said to us, "No, you can't," about 150,000 times by the time we reached 17. And then during those same years, we heard about 5,000 times, "Yes, you can." That's 30 no's for every one yes. And folks, whether we want to believe it or not, that makes for a very powerful mental belief of "I can't." And yet Jesus said through the Apostle Paul in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It's simply this, folks. We just don't believe it will happen, or that it can be done in our non-conscious brain, because we have never seen it happen before. Anybody in this house believe that God can raise the dead? Huh? Jeff Merkus, do you believe that God can raise the dead? And you know what? I've heard your pastor from this pulpit say, "We've got goals. We want to see more miracles. We want to see more healings. We want to see more of the demonstration of the power of God." And here you have two men in your church just this past year that literally died, and God raised them back up. And you know what? There's a whole church now because you've seen it. You've experienced it. It can happen. But Jesus said, "Blessed are they that don't see and yet still believe." You see, the biggest obstacles to most of our goals has nothing to do with external conditions or factors. Doesn't have anything to do with this economy. It has everything to do with our belief system, our RAS. "God, I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it, but I know that you are God, and I know your word is true, and I know your word says that all things are possible to him that believes. What did that father say to Jesus? He said, Lord, what? I believe. You see, with his conscious brain, he could make that statement. I believe what you're saying. But you see, he never saw anyone delivered of the devil. He never saw anyone completely cast, a spirit cast out. Then he says in his conscious mind, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Are there any believers here today that God can deliver anybody? That God can set anybody free? Amen. Oh, Calvary Gospel Church, you're gonna see the greatest miracles, healings, and power. You see, unbelief is the greatest detriment to faith. And without true faith, we cannot please God. We have got to get our core beliefs beyond our conscious mind into our non-conscious, where it can and does become a reality in us. Let me ask you, when you're faced with a situation that needs immediate prayer, what do you do? Jesus, what's pastor's phone number? What's pastor's phone number? What's Brother Thomas's phone number? What's Brother Roy Grant's phone number? Or do you unleash the power within you and begin to pray with assurance and faith that what you are doing is going to make a difference in that immediate situation? I give all glory to God, Jeff Merkus, for what he did in your life. But I guarantee you, in your moment, amen, where it seemed like all was lost, there was some others that came by, that God sent by. And you know what? They prayed. And we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Again, it's not maybe. It is a fact, God. We've got to believe God that he is able. Remember, folks, it's not our power. It's his power. It's not our abilities. It's his ability. It's not us. It's him working through us. All he needs is for us to have true belief that it will be done. Apostle Peter wrote in his second general letter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Look at this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what? That's why you come to the house of God. I've heard your pastor and other members of this leadership team preach and teach. You've got some of the best, amen, in this state right here. What are they teaching? The word of the Lord. What's happening? Knowledge is taking place. You're receiving the word of God. But my friends, it's not just here. You need to be on your own reading the word of God. You need to be studying the word of the Lord to show yourself, amen, in favor with God. Amen. To get the word of God off of the page and into your heart and into your mind, your RAS, that God is able. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us some things. How many? all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. My friend, God hasn't left us void of anything that is potential. We have got it in ourselves by the grace of God and the power of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. All we need to do is to put it into practice. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue, moral excellence, whereby are given unto us, read it with me out loud, whereby are given unto us, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of what the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, praise God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, church, the Lord has invested into his body the power to change the world. We cannot be people that just see ourselves as good churchgoers and tithe payers, but we must see ourselves as God intended his church to be world changers, to be Madison changers, to be Dane County changers. Listen to what Paul says in that 16th verse to Timothy. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. How many of you want to be saved? Every hand in the place should go up. I want to be saved. How many of you want to go to heaven? You want your families to go to heaven. You don't want to see any loved one lost. Then we must get with God's program and unleash the power within us, asking the Lord for wisdom and opportunity, and open our mouths and witness about the good things of the Lord. This is no time for us to sit dormant like an erupting volcano, like the power of the unleashing of the atom. We need to arise to the church's potential. It's time for us to become unfrozen and set free to do the will of God. It's time for us to let God's power be manifested in and through our lives so that others too can see his awesome love and work firsthand. What can Jesus not do? He can't sin and he can't fail. Outside of those two things, there's nothing he can't do. All things are possible to him that believes. Stand with me today. Do you remember when the Apostle Peter was in jail? Bible is very specific. He tells us that he was heavily guarded with two soldiers, one on each side of him. Scripture states in Acts 12 and 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer, everybody say, but prayer. You don't think prayer is not important? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. This brother is going to come down here today. I had no idea. But I tell you, evidently he needs some people, not just with your conscious mind, but are convinced that not only is God able, but that God will according to his power. I want you to notice what the body of believers did. They did what they thought that they should do in Peter's behalf. They prayed. I've been in a lot of prayer meetings. I pray every day. First thing I do, and I'm not bragging here, I'm just being thankful. Every day. Matter of fact, if I get sidetracked, I miss that time. And it can't be just dropping a couple of coins in a slot and going through a ritual. But there has to be heartfelt, true belief. And you see, the church that day, with their conscious mind, they were praying for Peter. They really were. But they were totally oblivious to the fact that what they were doing was unleashing the power of God into a jail cell, where literally chains fell off of the individual. The guards right on each side were completely out of it. And Peter was told to put on his sandals. And all of a sudden, doors began to open for him. And the gates opened. And you know where he goes? He goes to the very house where the prayer meeting's taking place. And he's knocking on the door. And a young damsel by the name of Rhoda comes to the door, and she recognizes his voice. It's Peter! And she doesn't open the door. She runs back to the others and she says, Peter's at the door! Consciously they were praying, but non-consciously they said to Rhoda, are you mad, Rhoda? What do you think we're praying for? He's in prison. You get my point, folks? We need to unleash. We need to believe like never before. One more scripture and I finish. Also told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. Anybody need the Holy Ghost stirred up in your life today? Brand new year. We're starting a whole new walk. Hallelujah. I tell you, for somebody today, they could get the Holy Ghost right here to my left. Praise God. Amen. Somebody could get deliverance from situations right here. Amen. Right here in the center. And somebody, amen, could get a healing from God right here. Amen.